Welcome to Agency of the Month, brought to you by the CSC NGEN team on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This month's agency is Navy.
Welcome to the program. Today we're focusing on financial management in the Navy. My guest is Gladys Commons. She is the Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Financial Management and Comptroller. And Ms. Commons, I thank you very much for being here today.
You're welcome.
The focus all over DOD is on budget issues. Talk about where you stand in particular in the Navy when it comes to dealing with a tighter budget, the processes that you're going through and so forth.
Of course, we have prepared our budget for 2013 as part of the president's budget. And it was based on the strategy that was developed by the Department of Defense. And we are very well positioned, I believe, within our budget to accommodate that defense strategy. So we're comfortable with where we are.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the impact that the budget is having on other operations, your colleagues in the other areas at the top leadership of the Navy. I imagine that you're pretty popular when it comes to trying to make any decisions about moving forward.
Of course, people who work in the financial management community have always been popular when it comes to making decisions about the budget and where we're going to spend our resources, because they all come to us to find out, do we have the money available, and might I use some of that money to accomplish the missions that I've been given? We try to be very supportive in doing so, because the ultimate goal for us is to support the warfighter. That is why we're there, and that is why we prepare budgets, so we try to accommodate the requirements to the best of our ability.
What tools and resources are you either implementing or cultivating and developing to be able to manage those resources better, more effectively in a time like we're in now?
Of course, we've implemented the Enterprise Resource Planning System that we're using. At least 50% of our resources are within that system. It is a very dynamic system. It provides very detailed information that we can use, and we believe that it is an accountable system most of all.
Mm-hmm.
So we use that system. We have lots of information within the department that we gather. We have cost analysts that look at the total cost of systems, historical cost of systems, and they do an excellent job to inform management of the cost of those systems and perhaps where we can make trade-offs within those systems to be more cost effective. So we think we do an excellent job there.
You have an extensive experience in financial management inside the Navy, and we have more information about your bio at federalnewsradio.com at search term Agency of the Month. Talk about what the Navy is doing differently today to look at those costs, analyze them, and manage them that you didn't do maybe 5 or 10 years ago.
We are focused on improving our audit readiness. I think it is key. We have not been able to do that in the past. So by looking at our business processes, which we're trying to do from end to end throughout that process, we're trying to make sure that our business systems are have the proper controls within them, and we're also looking at our internal controls to make sure that they are effective. And I think that is something that we have not done before, and we're doing that much better. We're moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. What processes have you put in place to be able to do that?
Well, right now, the Marine Corps is under audit,
mm-hmm.
so we've learned a lot of lessons from them moving to audit readiness. We also have looked at some of our business processes and how we account for our assets. I think that's very important to understand that we know where our assets are. We know the availability of them. When the warfighter is ready to use those assets, we know where they're located and we know what condition they're in.
Was there a reason that the Marine Corps went first here? Were they in a different state to start with, or a different inventory mix, or different resources available, or why them first?
The Marine Corps had done a concerted effort to improve their audit readiness. They felt that they had gone far enough that they were ready for audit. And we used them as a pilot to help us. We have never done this in the Department of Defense before.
Mm-hmm.
a service had never done this within the Department of Defense. And the Marine Corps, we felt, was small enough that we could do this pilot, yet it would encompass all of the things that a larger service would have to contend with in audit readiness. They put in a tremendous effort. We're doing very well in that area. And so we're very grateful to the Marine Corps. As usual, they've taken the hill.
The Marine Corps' audit readiness, the Navy's audit readiness overall, is wedded to the timeline that Congress has established for the Pentagon. The 2014 deadline and the 2017 deadline are the two main ones. How does your timeline internally fit with what Congress is asking you to do?
We are positioning ourselves to meet the deadline that the Congress has established for us. And better yet, we have positioned ourselves to meet the deadline that the Secretary of Defense has established for us, saying that we would have an audit-ready statement of budgetary resources by the end of 2014. Actually, the Department of the Navy, we are hoping that we will have our statement of budgetary resources audit ready by the end of 2013. We have a very detailed plan that we're executing. We are confident because of the Marine Corps effort, as well as other efforts that we have pursued in achieving audit readiness. The audit community has validated that we have a good funds distribution and receipt process. We've also been able to have validation of our weapon systems inventory, that it is accurate and that the process is very good for accountability purposes. So we're comfortable that we will meet that deadline.
Gladys Commons is my guest. She's Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Financial Management and the Comptroller on Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Do you have the resources that you need in-house? Are you going outside of the Navy for best practices or for assistance? Or where are you able? How are you able to stay on this timeline that you've set out?
We have approximately 9,000 civilian and military financial management personnel within the financial management community, but we're also going outside to hire people who have expertise in audit readiness. The department and its systems were never designed for what we call proprietary accounting. We've always been focused on budgetary accounting, and proprietary accounting is quite different. So we did not have that expertise in-house, and we have sought to bring in some contractor support to help us in that area. Again, that is one of the reasons that we believe we're confident that we can meet the deadline.
What roadblocks have you run up against? What have you experienced that maybe you didn't expect to as you got close to hitting these marks? And what have you found a little bit more difficult to jump over than you expected?
Our systems were never designed, as I mentioned, to do proprietary accounting. It has been a major issue for us because we've had to go back and look at older systems to see how we could redesign them. And, of course, it takes a very long time to make systems changes. So we had to look at the processes to see how we could put the internal controls around those systems that would make us audit ready. So systems has been a big part of it. The other part of it is end-to-end, our business processes, looking at those processes end-to-end. When you move to audit readiness, it's not just a matter of the financial transactions. It is the process in which you come to a financial transactions. So we have to look at the business processes end to end in order to be audit ready.
You mentioned data analysis earlier, and I'd like to chat with you a little bit about that when we come back from the break. My guest is Gladys Commons. She's the Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Financial Management and Comptroller. Our conversation will continue in a moment. You're listening to Agency of the Month. This month, it's the U.S. Navy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
CSC stands ready to partner with the Department of Navy on Next Generation Enterprise Network to achieve a fully integrated naval networking environment. The world-class CSC team, including Harris, General Dynamics IT, and Verizon, has the experience to deliver innovative networking solutions that enhance performance, improve security, and cut costs to affordably meet evolving needs of sailors and Marines today and for years to come. Visit NGenReady.com for more information. That's NGenReady.com.
Thanks for listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM for the month of March. It is the U.S. Navy. My guest today is Gladys Commons, Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Financial Management and Comptroller. And Ms. Commons, before the break, we talked a little bit about the amount of data that you have to process. Talk about how you're using data analysis. The phrase big data has become kind of a buzzword in government. It's certainly something you're used to dealing with for a long period of time. Talk about how you're analyzing all of this data, what processes you're using to do that.
I have working for me a cost analysis group that will collect historical data, how much we're spending in various areas. They also look at weapon systems and how the technology is changing. They visit contractor sites to determine the cost of their workforce and their labor and the technology they have to implement and make us more cost effective. We use that data in our decision making as to what we're going to have to pay for a system, what the total cost of owning that system will be. Mm-hmm. And that way we can make decisions about where we want to go, what technology we want to pursue, what systems we want to pursue, and how they impact our cost over a long period of time, not just near term, but over the long term.
Is it fair to say that there is more of an emphasis on life cycle costs now than there has been in the past?
Absolutely. I remember many years, and as you stated, I worked for the government for a number of years, and there was not the emphasis on the total cost of the system. We looked at how much it was going to cost us to do the research and development and to actually buy the system. We did not look long term over how much it was going to cost us to actually own the system. Mm-hmm. And I think it has been very effective to move in this area of total ownership costs because as a result, we actually make different decisions.
Mm-hmm. What's driven that? Is that only budget driven or is that a strategic decision as well?
I think strategic. I think people really want to know how much a system is going to cost over its lifetime because the cost of that system over its lifetime, of course, impact the budget. Mm-hmm. And how much funding we're going to have available to us to do the things that we need to do.
When you refer to a system, too, it might be instructive to think about the fact that I imagine you're not just referring to a weapon system. I think people have a tendency to think military equals weapon systems, and that's all you do, when in fact you do all of the same things, I imagine, that every other federal agency does operationally, and you also have the mission to meet that includes the weapon systems. Is that accurate?
Yes, we do. Our costs range from, of course, paying our people to buying weapon systems, aircraft carriers, satellites. We buy pencils and paper. Mm-hmm. We buy computers. We have to pay for the operating costs associated with an aircraft carrier operating, for example, in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. So it includes a very wide range of functions. And you're absolutely right. A lot of people think it's just about buying weapons. But it is much, much more than that.
Now, to execute your particular team's mission, you need extremely qualified, extremely experienced people. Is the talk about the budget and what might happen staff size-wise and all of those things impacting your ability to keep the experienced, trained people that you need to do all of these things?
Not at this time. We have a very professional staff. They are well-trained. They have the skill sets that we need to properly budget and execute that budget. And I watch that staff very closely to make sure that we are not losing the skilled force that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not noticing at this time any decline in that workforce or people leaving because of what is going on in the budget area. In fact, we find in the financial management community that as the budgets shrink, that people want to be a part of that. They want to lend their expertise, and they want the department to get the most for the money that we have.
It strikes me that if that's what someone's passion really is, this is crunch time, and that's the time that it's really exciting to be involved in this kind of field. Is that correct?
It is, and I think most financial managers feel that way, that they can absolutely at this time make the most contribution that they will be able to make during their career.
You touched on an answer to what would be my next question, which is, do you have the size of workforce that you need? Do they have the training and skills that you need? But expand on that a little bit. What's the difference, maybe? How much room is there between what your ideal workforce would look like and what the team that you have now looks like? Is there much space there, or are you really pretty much running fully equipped?
We have a combination of civilians, military, and contractors. We feel that that workforce is currently sized appropriately. When we went to audit readiness, since we had never done proprietary accounting within the Department of the Navy, we knew that we needed a different skill set. We knew that we needed to train our people differently. We have done that. We have developed audit courses for them so that they understand what it means to be audit ready. And so we believe that we have the right people on board now, and my goal is to keep those people on board.
One of the initiatives that the administration has pushed very heavily in the financial management community and government is improper payments. Talk about your approach to improper payments, the areas that you're looking in, and what you're doing to try to prevent the pay and chase phenomenon, as it's been named.
The Defense Finance and Accounting Service makes most of the payments for the Department of the Navy. What they have done is to take a look at their overpayments and use sampling as a method for determining what those overpayments are. As they look at the overpayments, they're able to determine what the root cause is of the overpayment. And we're working with them to, as they discover those root causes, to eliminate them.
The improper payments issue is just one of many challenges that you're up against. What challenges are you dealing with that we haven't talked about when it comes to financial management at the Navy?
I think, once again, our number one challenge, of course, is audit readiness.
Mm-hmm.
We are plowing new ground there, and so therefore it is our biggest challenge. Next, I think that in this time of fiscal constraint, that will be a big issue for us as we try to make sure that we use our resources in the most effective and efficient manner. Those are the things that I worry about, that we are able to spend every dollar effectively to support the warfighter. That is why we're in the business, and I want to make sure that we do as much as we can to support the warfighter and their efforts.
Now, when you mention fiscal constraint and someone puts a branch of the military next to it, then the next word usually that follows that is sequestration. I've heard Secretary Panetta say on a number of occasions as he testified during this budget season, we're not planning for sequestration. We don't expect it to happen. And yet Congress doesn't indicate that they're ready to strike any kind of a deal to prevent it. What do you think you would have to do to prepare for it in the event that come January 2013, there is still nothing to prevent that from happening?
As Secretary Panetta stated, we are not preparing for sequestration at this time. I can tell you that it would be very disruptive for us. In fact, I think it would be much like the preparation that we would do for government shutdown.
Mm.
We would have to take all of our people, retask them to focus on sequestration, and that would be very disruptive. the sequestration would be government-wide. So we are waiting for the Office of Management and Budget to give us the direction as to how we would apply the sequestration.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any sense, based on the experience that you had from the close calls that we had with shutdown, what maybe the first couple of steps would be? Or are you just entirely dependent on that guidance from OMB?
We're going to, of course, rely on that guidance from OMB. But we know that from reading the intent, it would focus on almost every line item that we have in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
It would be very disruptive. We'd have to look at our contracts that we might have already executed, and certainly we'd have to look at whether or not it would impact our civilian personnel or our military personnel. But once again, we really need to wait until we get the guidance from the Office of Management and Budget to start planning.
If you and I were to sit down, say, 2 years from now or 5 years from now and have this conversation again, what do you expect would be the success stories that you could talk about at that point?
I think the success story would be that we are indeed audit ready. I think that is very important because of our size. The DOD budget is roughly $525 billion. If you look at the Fortune 500 companies, we would be at the top
mm-hmm.
of the list. The Department of the Navy would be in the top five. I think we need to prove to the taxpayer that we are good stewards of the resources that they give us. We believe that we are, but the proof is really in producing those financial statements, and we are eager to do that. So I would hope that I would be saying to you, we are audit ready. We have been able to produce our financial statements, and we're well on the road to success there. The other thing that I would want to be able to tell you is that our financial management workforce is sound. They have the skill sets that they need. They are well trained, and they are comfortable in working for the Department of Defense. They're pleased to be there. They're putting forth their best effort. And then, of course, I would like to be able to say that we have used all of the resources that you have entrusted us with very efficiently and effectively, even in this fiscally constrained environment.
Ms. Commons, I'm grateful for your time. Thank you very much for joining me today for Agency of the Month.
You're welcome.
Gladys Commons is Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Financial Management and Comptroller. The Navy is our focus on Agency of the Month. Next week at this time, my conversation with Juan Garcia, Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Manpower and Reserve Affairs. Thanks very much for listening.
You've been listening to Agency of the Month, brought to you by the CSC NGEN team on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Search Navy. Agency of the Month, Thursday mornings at 10 AM, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Your source for federal news now. CSC stands ready to partner with the Department of Navy on Next Generation Enterprise Network to achieve a fully integrated naval networking environment. The world-class CSC team, including Harris, General Dynamics IT, and Verizon, has the experience to deliver innovative networking solutions that enhance performance, improve security, and cut costs to affordably meet evolving needs of sailors and Marines today and for years to come. Visit NGenReady.com for more information. That's NGenReady.com.